My friend, if you have still not received Christ as Savior, it's time to stop allowing Satan to blind your mind. It's time to receive Christ as Savior today.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant brings the conclusion of his message taken from the book of Malachi. The prophet rebukes the priorities of his materialistic nation, but also provides the encouraging remedy. You can't outgive God. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant continues with his 4 points taken from the prophet's challenging counsel. Here now is Pastor Grant with part two of Experiencing God's Overflowing Blessings.
Let's never forget that when we fail to give generously to God, we may forfeit his plan to bless us. Young person, older person, let that sink in. We have this idea that the less I give to God, the more I have to keep. It's a bad idea. Because you can give a dollar to God and keep $5,000 to yourself, and God can make that $5,000 disappear in a flash. For all sorts of things can happen. Problems in your health, problems in your job, problems on the house, problem people breaking in, problem. And so says God. God says, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But he's saying, watch where we have robbed you in tithes. You are cursed with a curse. Bible. God says, when you rob me, don't rob me, and then turn to me and say, oh God, please bless me. Don't miss it. When we don't give generously to God, we are robbing him. What's another word for a person who is robbing? Uh-oh, you said it, I didn't say it. You said it. So why should I be generous? Let me give you another illustration. Back in the glory days of McDonald's, this is a story I made up, so it's back in the glory days of McDonald's, James took his six-year-old son, Dave, to Mickey D's. And so he asked him, son, what did he want? And Dave said, you know, I want a Coke and fries. As Dad was placing the order for the Coke and fries, Dave's heart pounded in glee. You know, little boy, he heard that his dad telling the cashier to supersize the fries. Of course, nowadays a supersized fry is just a regular fry, because the regular fry has gone smaller. But back then, a super fry, supersize was really the thing, all right? Dad paid for the Cokes, and he paid for the supersized fries. He took them to the table. He prayed a short prayer for the food. God bless this food, amen. Poor little son, he thought that prayer was too long. That was too many words, you know. But that he was so eager to sink his teeth into those wonderful fries. His dad looked and he was so happy that his son Dave was enjoying something so simple. So Dad decided he was going to join in the fun. But as he reached over to get a couple of Dave's fries, guess what happened? What do you think happened? Dave quickly put his arms around his fries. And Dave said to Dad, these are mine. Dad couldn't believe his son's attitude. Did Dave realize, I am the one who provided the fries? Does Dave realize that I gave him more than he expected because I gave him a supersized fries? So why is Dave talking about my fries? Then that thought, since I'm 6'4" and 220 pounds, Does Dave realize that I have the power to take all the fries from him, despite the fact he has his arms surrounding them like a fort? Dad didn't really need the fries. He only wanted Dave to willingly share the blessing he had provided. You got it? Yeah. Has God blessed you with any fries? Did God supersize your fries? But sadly, just like Dave, many of us have put forts around the fries God has blessed us with. We're reluctant to share our resources with the very God who gave us everything that we have. We are reluctant to share our resources with Him. The God who can take everything that we have. God does not need your money, nor does He need mine. Amen? For the cattle on 1,000 hills are His, and all the silver and the gold are His. But despite this, God loves when we, His children, come on now, willingly and generously share with Him from the blessings He has given us, from the fries He has blessed us with. He is so excited to see when we willingly share generously. Amen? But there's a lot of additional blessings mentioned in this text. Look at verse number 10. He says, bring up all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. When you bring all the fries, he says, test me out. Verse 11, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and what? Pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, God's blessings, people say, are you telling me? I remember one time, it actually happened. Somebody, I was the treasurer. Somebody wrote me and said, it was a member of the church, but they said, I'm going to send you $100. Would you pray that so that God will give me back? I don't remember how much he wanted it multiplied by, but they actually assumed that this was an investment banking business. You send the church $100. And suddenly you get $5,000 back. And that's what God is talking about. But God is saying, test me if I will not pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then God goes on. And listen, the blessings of God are so much better than just money. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. He will rebuke the devourer so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, God is so good. Little song says, God is so good. He's so good to me. Do you feel that way? Has God been good to you? If God has been good to you, then praise His name and don't hold back anything from Him. Despite God's goodness, a few years ago, Moody Press reported that the average church member only gave, listen to this, I didn't make this up. You'd be surprised what it is. The average church member only gave between 1.5 and 2.5% of their income to the Lord. Did you realize that? Another survey revealed that only 8% of Christians, adults, actually give 10% or more of their income to the Lord's work. Can you imagine that? No, I'm not saying we don't know what it is here at GCR. We're not going to do no study, so you don't even have to worry. You notice we don't keep no register. The elders don't even know what you give. Hallelujah. I don't have a clue what you're giving, and I don't want to know what you're giving. Because that's between you and God. But the statistics are shocking. Considering so many of us run around making Christians make so much hullabaloo on us, you get the impression that we really love to honor God with our giving. We really believe that God is a blessing God. 1.5%. Where do you fit in? God says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will reap generously. And sometimes we make the mistake to believe that because there's a lot of money in your bank account, God is blessing you. Your money does not have anything necessarily to do with God's blessing, because there are a lot of sinners who are rolling in money. By the way, before I move on, tithing. You know what? We don't say a whole lot about tithing. The Bible talks about tithing, giving one-tenth, and I think that's a great place to start. But tithing should be our training wheels. Amen? I remember when my kids were just starting to ride the bicycle, particularly my daughter. I remember, for some, it took a little while longer on those training wheels. You know what the training wheels are? It's, instead of having two wheels, you ended up with four, okay? And little by little, as she steadied herself, you could take off the others and she could operate with just two wheels. Well, tithing is our training wheels, okay? It gives us a chance to allow our faith to grow. We just come to Christ, and tithing is a training wheel that gives us some guidance as to what God is, the direction God wants us to go. But listen, as our faith grows, I pray we'll be so determined to give by faith to the Lord, we'll get rid of the training wheels. Amen. And we'll go way beyond this 10%. Well, so what's the third thing? I said four, so let me move quickly. Write this to your notes. God's overflowing blessings come when we faithfully serve him. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 15 is a bit surprising. Here's what God now says to Israel. And many of you know the relationship God has with Israel. He says to them, God says to Israel, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And here's God telling them what they have said. God says, you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. People are saying, it doesn't matter what you do. You can say whatever you want to say to God. You can do whatever you want to do to God. It doesn't really matter. And who are the people talking? Israel. God's earthly chosen people are talking. Israel was in a bad place. So Satan had blinded their eyes, just like he's blinding the eyes of many of us. For sadly, there are millions who call themselves Christians who are comfortable with sin and have very little passion for the things of God. Yes, there are Christians who are dibble-dabbling in sin, who are loving sin, and they don't seem to care. And it's almost as if they feel that God is not observing. Listen, God was very observant with what Israel was doing, and he's observant with what we are doing. But you know, Satan is blinding people from seeing their need for God's salvation. I want to put a verse of scripture on the board. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 on the screen. Let's put 2 Corinthians 4, on verse 3 on the screen. It reads, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, if you have still not received Christ as Savior, it's time to stop allowing Satan to blind your mind. It's time to receive Christ as Savior today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And if you're here this morning, or if you're listening on some other media, I want to encourage you, come to Jesus Christ today. Thank God, once we receive God's salvation, we have eternal life. But that's only the first step in the journey of faith. For to experience God's overflowing blessings, we must faithfully serve him. Are you serving Christ faithfully? If not, I urge you to make a total commitment to him today. First, what have we seen so far? First, God's overflowing blessings come after spiritual cleansing. Second, God's overflowing blessings come when we honor him with our tithes and offerings. Third, God's overflowing blessings come when we faithfully serve him. And here's the fourth and final thing I want to share with you this morning. God's overflowing blessings come when we worship him with reverence and awe. By the way, get this. This is not a multiple choice exam. If we're serious about experiencing God's overflowing blessings, we don't sit back and look over the list and say, ah, that's me, I'm doing that. It's not a multiple choice question where you pick one and you feel good. Listen, if we are serious about experiencing God's overflowing blessings in our lives must reflect all four of these things. Amen? Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Write this. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on his name. And God says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spear them as a man spears his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. We should worship God, listen, out of reverence and godly fear. Amen? We should worship God out of reverence and godly fear. I'm going to put on the screen Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, because I want us all to be able to read those verses together. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Can you read that along with me? It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is what? Our God is not to be trifled with. Sometimes after we're saved, listen, it's so wonderful, it's so sweet, and he's so endearing, and he wants us close. But never, ever get to the point where you forget who God is. Amen? Amen. God is not the man upstairs. So if you're one of those that has that in your vocabulary, strike it. God is not the man upstairs. He is the omnipotent, omniscient God, the one who holds the whole world in his hands. Never forget it. This omnipotent, omniscient God loves me, and he loves you, and he sent Jesus to die for us. But let's not minimize who he is. And what excites me is, despite his awesomeness, the fact that this God who is able to fill the entire universe is small enough to live in my heart. Isn't that something to be excited about? That the omnipotent, omniscient God has decided and is willing to come and live his life in you and in me. Hallelujah. The best is yet to be for the children of God. For in verse 17 it says, don't miss this, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Hallelujah. They shall be mine. We are his. And listen, one day he's going to make us his jewels. We're going to be in heaven with him, and we're going to radiate and reflect the glory of God. Throughout the ages of eternity, we will reflect and radiate the glory of our wonderful Savior. Are you sure you'll be in heaven with Jesus? That's the big issue. Are you sure you'll be in heaven with Jesus? You know, don't miss the big distinction God made in verse 18. He said, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not. The only people who will be in heaven are those who repented of sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you done that yet? Does Jesus Christ live in your heart? Have you turned from sin and received him as Savior? If not, I'm going to invite you right now to do just that. Whether you're here or you're listening on the live stream, I'm going to encourage you right now to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. Close your eyes right now. Bow your heads. And if you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I'm going to ask you to say just a simple prayer to him. Just say to him, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner, but thank you for loving me and for dying for my sin. Today I turn from my sin to receive your salvation. Please forgive me for all my sin and come into my life today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer and for saving me today. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.